legislative.
Okay, so I'll call the Committee of Legislative Redistricting and Efficiency of Government Operation Advisory Committee to order. Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I'll give you the floor to address the committee.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to kick off this important meeting.
Excuse me, just for a second.
Yes?
Do we need a roll call?
No.
Okay, thank you. We do not.
Okay.
You can see that?
It'll be part of it.
Thank you, thank you. Go ahead.
Part of the... Thanks, welcome. Thanks for volunteering, every one of you. This is important mission we're on. As you know, just a reminder, we're mandated to start this by virtue of the census. And that was the catalyst for the kickoff here. And we've added a few other things. It's a great opportunity to... Because unfortunately, our county father set up a government that was designed to handle the expansion of the population in the county, and I believe that our graph will show that it's going the other way. So this is a great time to look at things. This committee will be actually self-structured. You do need to come up with some times and dates on how you want to meet, and so that Cindy can publish those, the clerk can publish them, and get them out there so that the public does know what we're doing. We do have, by virtue of kicking this off and providing the tools, we do have CGR, which is out of Rochester. The legislature approved those, and you're going to interact with them and use them probably as one of your tools or main tools. We heard the other night a lot of, we didn't hear from the, we heard from kind of the folks that want to be, make sure that this is transparent and that they've got some input. And I think what we need to do is just reinforce that these are open meetings. Unfortunately, we're under the COVID right now, but the recordings are made available so the folks know what is being discussed. We also have participation along the way where we have public hearing, which the public can comment on it. We also, through my discussion with CGR, they have the ability and the heads up that they will probably be doing a couple public presentations on their findings if we decide to take a certain avenue. They're the professionals and they will introduce it to the public. And then, of course, we ultimately have the public out there for the final approval when it goes to the referendum. But I would just ask that you guys consider any other avenues that you may want to open up to have the public interaction. So one thing that we need to do is probably back up into a timeline and have you guys establish a timeline of what's going to work, how it's going to work, and what your objectives are in the timeline of doing it. Just reviewing the goals, it's redistricting, and county efficiencies. Under redistricting, one of the things that, just looking at other charters, you may want to, and this is entirely up to you, you may want to look at how the districts are described. We use up a lot of our charter by defining the districts with the meets and bounds, of all of the districts. There are other ways to do that that are as efficient, and it describes the same thing. So that's something that CGR may be able to help you with, and you may or may not decide to change anything, but that's one of the things that you know, you might want to consider. As far as tools go, under Rule 7 of our tools, you guys can request through the chairman any tools that you need. Right now we have the clerks are taking the minutes, and we have the legislative attorney here. Those are both approved to be at your assistance here at these meetings. We have CGR that's been on board. That's approved, but you're also able to, any other tools that you need, services, anything like that, just come to me and we'll either make it happen or figure out how to, the process to make it happen, so. And ultimately, you've got to get, the goal is to submit a report, finding, suggestion to the legislature. And, so that's where we need to back into that. So that's your ultimate goal. I know that you guys can have some discussion, but, on some of these items, and I know probably Mr. Sweet wants to, kind of address things. CGR, I put those guys on, an invite for 9:30 this morning so that you can interact with them and, kind of get an idea of what they're doing. Paul Bishop and I have spoke and I've given him the overview. And, he and Brian are working on the contract so that we can get that done and signed. Answering, the, invite was Kieran Bazell and Dave Riley. And, when I spoke with Paul Bishop yesterday, he said that those, that would be the three that are working on this, project with you. So.
Dave,
yes.
What are their positions with CGR, do you know?
Paul Bishop is a principal and, Kieran and Dave deal with the public, or the, yeah, the public side of it. They deal with the government side. So, they're the ones that are going to be most familiar with kind of, I think, what we're, in the title of this anyway, what we're looking for.
Okay.
So, I had spoke, with someone else in the very beginning and, he was basically marketing, and he's off to another project. So these are the core folks that you, this team will be working with, this committee will be working with, so. With that, are there any questions for me? All right. Typically, what I do is I form the committee, kind of kick it off, and give what I think is kind of some direction, and then I leave and let you guys run it, and you come back and report and anything you need, so. I'll let you do what you're going to do. CGR will come on at 9:30. I don't know if you want me back in here to, introduce them, or they'll introduce themselves, and then you guys can just work with them. So, if you need me back here, just holler. But otherwise, I'm going to leave this up to you folks. So.
Anybody, anything for Dave? I've got seven items that I put on a piece of paper that I want to start this off. You're free to stay and listen to this if you'd like, Dave, and then you'll hear it right from the horse's mouth.
Certainly. Thank you for the invite.
So, without objections, if I may, again, I put some things on paper that are my thoughts. In no particular order, but here we go. Number one. We all received the county budget here in November, and the county executive in his budget message has recommended a study and possible reduction in the number of legislators. He also states that the 2021 budget has funding available for this study. This committee will look at the reduction of legislators possibility with the help of CGR. So that is something we're going to look at because of our population, and I'll get to that in a moment. This committee should also study to see if our current form of government with an elected county executive and treasurer is a correct fit for a county this size with a reduced population. We should study the cost of our current form of government, including the 15 legislative seats, and seek where reduction in costs may occur while maintaining the efficiency to better serve the community. That was number two of my thoughts. Number three, this committee will be open about our goals and accomplishments. Suggestions from legislators currently sitting on the board want this, and on the legislative board, want the citizens to be involved with this process. The citizens will ultimately be the ones making the decision whether or not our recommendations are accepted. In the meantime, we as legislators are elected and given the job to make suggestions and study this task before us. It is our responsibility, gentlemen, as legislators. That's what we were elected for. That's what we were hired for. And what backs that up is Federalist Paper number 10. I encourage the citizens to contact their legislators with their concerns, suggestions, and questions. And if that legislator decides to act on those concerns, suggestions, and questions, to put them in writing and forward them to the clerk of the legislature so that they may be presented to this committee. And that'll include any suggestions, concerns, or questions from the legislative board that's currently seating in the chambers. From time to time, this committee may call upon sitting legislators for comment. Again, I want to be open and inclusive, but it's this committee's job. From time to time, this committee may call upon experienced testimony from within and without the boundaries of this county. Number six, the last census in 2010 counted a population of 88,830 in Chemung County. The U.S. Census Bureau projected a population of 83,456 in 2019, so a reduction of about over 5,000 people in that time period from 2010 to 2019. I believe that the number that is projected in 2019 is a good number to start with and a good reason for this study. Seven, with the help of CGR, we should create a schedule for our meetings. The timetable is short, and I believe our recommendation should be forwarded to the legislature by June. Is that what we're looking at by June, that you should have see this?
That was one of the considerations, yes. I think that Attorney Meggs has backed this up, and that's reasonable. However, I don't know. Obviously, it's two-pronged. You're redistricting, studying the redistricting, number one. And number two, if there's any changes, the new census should probably be plugged into it if it's available. So, and I'm understanding that the census keeps being pushed a little bit. So CGR will probably help you with that timetable and with those assets that you need to come up with a good game plan.
This backs up what I was saying about the Census Bureau. You can't read it without a magnifying glass, but it was printed from the internet. But again, there's proof that we've lost, so it's a good time for the study. So with that, gentlemen, I'll open it up for discussion to first my points. And yeah, Marty.
Just a question.
Can I just be informal? Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine. Okay. Perfect. Just to be clear. By June 1st, are you looking for a recommendation from this committee? Is that the timetable we're looking at?
That's one of the timetables that we were focused on. I think actually CGR said that their goal was to have it done mid-May.
Uh-huh.
So that would give the legislature opportunity to take it, handle it, and going to do what they want to do with it. So we do know that on the referendum in November. Currently, they're asking for 60 days prior to that,
mm-hmm.
which is back into September, and you can kind of go backwards from there. So that's what we're working with right now. So,
okay. And if I may, we've got to keep in mind that whatever we do has to be approved by the legislature.
Yes.
Before it goes to the referendum.
Yep. And the process is it will, if I'm correct, it will come out of the legislature as a local law. Because it changes the charter. Local law is subject to public hearing, subject to veto, and then the process continues after that. So,
if I may?
Yep.
Is that all that activity and potential activity, public hearing, the passing of a local law, the potential for a veto, and then the reconvening of the legislature to potentially override a veto, is that all that work need to be accomplished prior to June 1st, or do we have some time during June to
I think we were using out? I think we're reusing the cushion between June and September to kind of accomplish some of those goals.
Thank you.
And also, imagine that maybe, here's where you work on your timetable, maybe prior to any of the public hearing or anything like that, that this is where CGR would maybe do your public presentations in outlying areas, so, or maybe not, maybe it's after it gets through the process and before it goes out. So, before it hits the referendum, so. I guess that's kind of up to you guys, when you want that, where in the process you want CGR to come in and do the public explanation.
Yes, go ahead.
Do we have any estimate on the census data? And is there any preliminary data that they release if we don't have that?
Well.
May I correct?
Sure.
I'm going by what they projected with their numbers, the Census Bureau in 2019.
Right.
And what I'll do is I'll ask if a copy of this can be made, but again, it's 83,456 residents in Chemung County in 19. So I would think that they're on top of that for the fact that I believe they can get their information from income tax. And now I might be wrong on that, but there's ways for them. Because I tell you what, there's a whole page. For instance, households, 33,889. You know, there's a whole list of stuff where they've got. And the Census Bureau will send out collection forms in that 10-year period. I know that for a fact because I've got constituents that called me up and said, hey, I've got a thing from the Census Bureau that want me to fill this out now. And it was like, well, it was 8 years ago. So that was 2012. So they do that for period, you know, from time to time. So I don't know if that answers your question, well, Scott, but.
So we're going to go under the assumption of that estimated number that we have until we get something better.
I think that's a good number to really justify looking at the reduction of the number of seats.
Mm-hmm.
I see this as two-pronged. Number one, we understand that there is a reduction in residents in Chemung County. What do we do about that? That's one. The other is, okay, here's where the thing, and now someone's got to draw a map to see where the boundaries are going to be, and from there, because if we're going to reduce it from 15 to 13, two districts have to disappear.
Well, that's where census tract information is going to be important, and what is even greater importance is a map that displays the census tracts for us, so we can see what the geography of them is.
You're talking about the census tract by district.
Well, for the county.
Right.
We can overlay that. But we got to see that. That's going to be the most important thing, I think. And hopefully, either through this data that you've seen, that they'll have some estimates of what has occurred within those census tracts. That, I think, would be the driver of this.
And if I can add to that, too, is that those maps, in my past experience, those maps have been laid out on this table for the legislators to come in and look at them and offer suggestions on how something could be changed or moved a boundary. Because if I may use my district, for example, in 2000 census, my geographical area expanded. In the 2010 census, because of the population difference, my geographical area shrank. And we as legislators had input to the planning department of where we wanted those boundaries to help offset the, or equalize the number of constituents that you had. So again, we're going to need the tracking, have the maps laid out here, and then let the legislators look at it. Because again, that's my past practice, what we've done in the past. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I remember the maps laid out here weeks, right? And so we had a chance to look at them. And then when they were kind of finalized, then the public got a chance to see them and look at them, and then that's what was ultimately voted on in the referendum, so. Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Another kind of question on that. Because it's conducted by the federal government, and usually they have, like, dates that things have to be done, like your taxes have to be paid on a certain date. Is there anything with the census? I know these are different times right now with the pandemic, but is there a set date where?
Yes, actually, the census was supposed to be done in time for the sitting president to present it to Congress. I believe it was on the, like, the 4th of January. That date slipped. So now they're saying that, well, once it slipped, now it was possibly March. And now I understand maybe they're going out further, but the date that was given, the president is supposed to hand it to Congress the first week in January. That was my understanding.
Anybody want to add anything? Go ahead with your remarks. I mean, hey, listen, we're here as a, you know, group. Go ahead. You know, if you got something to say, go ahead.
Do you care if it's kind of out of order to this agenda, but it's to stuff that you've talked about?
Go ahead.
Well, I sat with all of you Monday and heard the discussion of other legislators and the public that got, or, and the public that was read into the minutes, and, you know, heard everyone's desire to have the public involved. And you know, I sat there and listened to it all, and I heard and I understood, you know, what Dave said as far as that, you know, there would be public hearings. You know, the CGR would hold public townhouse meetings. Ultimately, the public has final authority when they vote in the referendum. But when Christina and Brian were going back and forth, you know, Brian said something exactly right after my mind clicked and went, why can't, couldn't we? We're hiring as a group, as a committee, we're going to use CGR as a tool. Why couldn't we form a citizens advisory committee as a tool? With voice and no vote to help us as we go through this.
My understanding is forming a subcommittee is entirely within the powers of this committee. Is that correct, Brian?
I'm not sure it's entirely within the powers of this committee, but it's definitely something that,
okay,
that can happen. Whether they have the ability to form a subcommittee, I'll look that up, but clearly the legislature as a body.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I don't, we do have a tight time frame, and we all know that, you know, this is kind of, we're kind of working under consensus here too, and you get five people to agree, even 3-2, is not an easy task. And, you know, so I don't want to add any more votes to the issue, but, you know, just for the optics of it, that, you know, we heard what was said and took that into consideration. And so we invited, and, you know, I guess I would think an additional four individuals nominated from us. You know, you don't get a vote. Maybe each of us would recommend one. Recommend two that we then cherry-picked one from that and established four citizens. As advisory, I wouldn't even think we'd necessarily need to even invite them to every meeting, but they have them as a tool, just like CGR. You know, I don't think it could hurt the process, and in the long run, it would make it easier for us to say, we heard, we were responsive, and in fact, we did, let, you know, the public in on the process itself with a subcommittee. That's, you know, I'm not making a motion or, I'm just offering that out as something that I thought of at about the exact same time that Brian told Christina, you know, it would be like, and that's what I heard.
Well.
Sure, sure.
I appreciate what you've said, and I heard all that too, and I guess the thing that struck me was, I've not been contacted by any of my constituents.
Nor I.
And I think if we poll the 15 and ask how many of them have been contacted by one of their constituents, I think we would have virtually maybe two or three. I did get contacted by a person who doesn't live in my district.
Me too.
Wanted to engage in a back and forth over this, and I suggested that I don't see this as being a contentious issue. And there seemed to be some notion that it should be made one, and I don't look at this as being contentious. This is directed by the charter that on the 10th year, the census year, that the legislature will undertake this.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to this individual that I looked at it as being our duty. When I was on a town board, if I can digress just a bit, we used to have issues that were potentially controversial, and immediately somebody would say, well, this should go to referendum. My opinion then and my opinion now is that we were elected to make those decisions.
Exactly.
In this case, what we've been elected to do is make a recommendation to the public, who will, in fact, have the final authority. Their input through public meetings, through the public hearing process, and through their ability to contact the 15 of us, I think provides a very adequate pathway for them to make their feelings known to us. I'm concerned, as you mentioned, with the compressed time period we've got and the attempt to add more people to the mix may slow us down a little bit. I could very well be condemned for saying that, but I think that the more people you got, the more unwieldy this may become. And we have to move along here at a fairly good pace to be able to get this done in the proper time period. So I understand exactly what you're saying. I heard that too, but I think that in some cases the interest has been perhaps cultivated more than it was by people coming in and saying, gee, they're interested. I think that maybe there was some outreach that got people fired up about this with the idea that something sinister was taking place. And I think we need to dispel that right from the beginning. And as you said in your remarks, this is not something that's going to be done in a smoke-filled room. This is out in the light of day, and I don't know that we need to encumber ourselves with more folks, but I understand what you're saying. Thank you.
And I don't disagree with the thing you said. I actually agree with everything, every point you made.
Thank you.
The you know, and my only reason for voicing it was purely the optics of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I agree with what Tom started out by saying. You know, this is driven by the charter, by the census. It's done every, you know, 10 years. You have to redistrict. We've always redistricted. This year, we're taking a look at potentially reducing, which fired off, and I'll be honest with you, most of the rhetoric that I've heard has come from my fellow Democrats about gerrymandering. You're going to redraw the district so that even the two Democrats that we've got on the council will be gone, and you know those you know, and my response to the one individual was, I don't know how things were when you were here, but I've been here, and I don't see Republicans and Democrats. I see county legislators working together for the good of the Tishman County. And you have someone in the public that is, you know, making, letters to the editor and we don't have a voice against that. You know, they're out there saying everything they want to, and we don't have an opportunity to rebut what is being said. And, you know, I'm purely thinking of, you know, the reason I suggested it was so that the optics were there that, in fact, you know, we weren't in a smoke-filled room, that we're out in the light of day. Everyone can see what we're doing. Everyone can be involved. But I agree with you. I haven't been contacted by a single constituent yet. I have been contacted by previous members of county government, city government, and just laid right out for not voting, you know, one way or the other. And, you know, that's part of what we get when you go and get elected. People are not going to agree with what the council's doing, and they're going to shoot at people that they know.
Okay, Marty.
I'm going to make a very simple statement. I think that transparency on this committee is extremely important. I agree with that 100%. And what I've heard so far this morning, the efforts that we are making to be fully transparent, I can tell you that I am comfortable with those. And I will be available to answer any questions that any of my constituents or anyone else have. But I believe that we have taken numerous steps to achieve that transparency.
Scott?
And I agree with what he has to say also. I think that it would be important to have someone other than legislators involved in redistricting. And that's where CGR comes in. We've hired a professional outside entity to look at this. And you know, I know in the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot of money as far as the county budget, but it's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I think we would be foolish to not accept what they say. Bottom line, I mean, I have no doubt they're going to say we should reduce legislators. That's just a fact. And that's what the... Again, that's what I think that they're going to say, and that's what I'll vote for. That's what they say.
Yeah, I see they're on.
Yep.
Go ahead, Dave. Do you want to introduce? Go ahead. I'll let you.
Yes. Good morning. Is that CGR on the line?
Yes. Good morning. We're all three of us are here. We'll be the folks that you'll be working with on this project.
Look over your left shoulder, Dave.
Hello, there you are.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. I have spoke with Paul, who is on the right, and by virtue of the other two, I've got to guess one is Dave and one is Karen.
That's correct. Yep.
All righty.
Which one's which?
Okay.
Brian, raise your hand.
Dave, come on.
Dave, which one? Okay, there's Dave. So Karen's in the middle. All righty. Good, good. So this is the group you'll be working with, and I'll let them go around and introduce themselves. Paul, I kind of gave them an overview of a couple of things that we talked about in setting this up and offering CGR as a tool for this committee to use. So I will step aside, let the committee and you do what you need to do. So thanks for joining us, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
So we'll introduce ourselves. Marty, you want to start?
Marty Chalk, legislator for the 10th district.
Can you guys see us okay?
You're a little small, but we can make it out. Yeah, we're okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Marty.
Sitting next to Marty Chalk in the 11th district, I'm Bob Briggs.
Okay.
I'm Tom Sweet of the 3rd district.
I'm Michael Smith from the 14th district.
I'm Scott Drake from the 13th district.
So in essence, what we have is three legislators from the city and two outside the city, one south of the river, one north of the river.
Okay.
And the river goes pretty much in the middle.
Yep.
So we started off, and Dave introduced things that he would like to see done with this committee, and I'm sure he's talked with you about it. And I had some opening remarks, and just to briefly state that in our county executive's budget message, he suggested a study to reduce the number of legislators based on our population. And I explained to these guys, so they're hearing it again, I took the liberty to look at the Census Bureau website, and they project in 2019 that Chemung County has 83,456 residents in Chemung County. So since the 2010 census, that's over 5,000 resident reduction in that time period. So we understand that there's been a decrease in population here and agree that the study should be done on the number of legislators, and understand that there very well could be a reduction from 15 to whatever the recommendation is by CGR. We understand that, the five of us do.
Okay.
But also, in that, I think it's important, since we do have a reduction in population, that we do look at the current form of our government with an elected county executive and elected treasurer, and to see what other counties, our population size, are doing, and to see whether there's a cost reduction in those, with those recommendations, to see what is the comparative of cost of now and what might be suggested. And anybody, you know, feel free to jump in, guys, you know. So, let's see. We'll need you to, has Dave talked to you about a timeframe?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll need your input on that, and to help us form a schedule for this here. And I think a lot of that determines on how CGR is progressing with this and what you want to report on. And I've also stated that I encourage citizens that want input on what's going on here to contact their legislator, and then that legislator submit that in writing to the clerk of the legislature to come to this committee and share with CGR.
Okay.
So that indirect way, the constituents will have a participation by their written suggestions. And then, go ahead.
Well, and I think as we near the end of the process, one of my conversations with Chairman Manchester was that there would be, you'd want to have a public hearing where we get to stand up and present our work and answer questions and allow people to share their views at that point as well, once there's kind of a straw man to work with, and we can explain if we came up with a recommendation of X number of legislators, how we got there and how that would have you compare against others.
If I may, and I only go back on my experience of sitting here at the legislature, in 2005 we were undertaking the project of outsourcing our solid waste system to a private company.
Okay.
And my experience was that consultants would hold public information sessions, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that, if that's possible, where CGR would, with us, we would come along, or some of us anyway, would come along and introduce you and help educate and inform the people what our, what your recommendations are and what we approve on, if you understand what I'm getting at.
I do. And as my thought is that we wouldn't want to entertain that until we're a little ways into the project. Because right now, if we were to have the public in the room and ask us questions right now, I can't really tell you much other than you're right on with your population estimate, and it puts you about midway in New York State, rank order wise, is to the size of the county. Makes you, I believe, number 32 out of 65. So that's really about all the information we have today. Give us a couple of months, and we'll have a lot more to share with you.
Yes, thank you for that, because that, my time frame thinking of that really was after your recommendations come to us, and the legislature, if the legislature should approve your recommendations, then we go out and educate the public on what the legislature has approved to put on the ballot. Yes.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about the process from beginning to end, maybe the Cliff Notes version?
Sure. And let me although you have our names, let me tell you a little bit about who you're working with. My name is Paul Bishop. I'll be the lead of the CGR team. I've been working with CGR for this is just starting my ninth year working as a consultant for us. I've been leading local government practice for about the last 5 years, handling studies from the village of Van Etten, helping them go through their dissolution process a couple of years ago, to doing the what was called the Consensus Central New York project, where the city of Syracuse was looking at how they might be able to combine with the municipalities all around them. I've done work in about, I think, 15 of the counties in New York State. So I've had everything from Chautauqua County to Essex County and Nassau County. So all spread throughout the state. So pretty familiar with how the different counties operate. Was part of a study where we looked at whether or not Schuyler and Yates County should combine and become one. So I'm familiar with county operations and the southern tier specifically. And I'll just ask David to give a brief introduction of himself, and we'll have Kieran do himself, and we'll do a project overview.
Sure. Thanks, Paul. So I'm David Riley. I'm a senior associate with CGR. I work pretty closely with Paul on a lot of our local government engagements. I've been with CGR for about 2 years now. I have a background in urban planning and regional planning, and in a previous professional life, I was a print journalist and spent a lot of years reporting on local government, including Monroe County. With CGR, I've also worked with county governments on a couple of different projects, worked with Broome County Clerk's Office on a records storage and management project, and recently with Tioga County on looking at the feasibility of doing countywide code enforcement. So looking forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kieran. I'm a recent at CGR about a year and a half right now. I work in support of a variety of projects, especially the local government projects with David and Paul, and I've worked on some of the projects David just mentioned. In my previous life, I taught sociology at the college level, and I handled the qualitative and quantitative data analysis and research. So happy to be part of the team and happy to meet all of you.
Thank you. Nice meeting you, all of you.
I'm going to try and present just a real brief PowerPoint to give you an idea of our project plan. that come up? You guys are seeing, you're not seeing the, are you seeing a screen that says phase two?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So phase one is actually really what we're doing today. This is an introduction, a chance to go over our process, talk about our communication style and you know, how we'll connect with you during the project. And importantly, one of the things we want to accomplish is understand who best to benchmark with. And once we get that benchmark, that list of counties to compare you with, then we're going to jump into phase two, where we're going to chase after a variety of data points so that we can compare you accurately. Obviously, we're looking at population and the recent demographic trends. One of our challenges and why this is happening in 2021 and not previously is we wanted to work with the decennial census. That is our gold standard in the United States that tells us exactly who's with us, where they live, and what kind of person lives in our community. And that data, ordinarily we'd be looking at a first draft of it. And that's being held back as they go through editing. There are some challenges with the data set. They, for whatever reason, aren't feeling comfortable with it, so it hasn't been released yet. We're not sure when we'll get those numbers, which is problematic for things like redistricting. That's really the only data that's accurate to be able to say this number of people live in this section of Chemung County and how should we divide legislative districts properly. So until that information is shared, we can't get all the way down to the street level. But we can get close, particularly at the county level and the municipal level. They do estimates on a pretty regular basis, and we'll be able to work with those estimates and see what's been going on with your population trend over time. That 5,000 person loss over the last 10 years, we'll see what's going on there. We'll also look a little bit into the future. The folks at Cornell University create projections, and they break it down to county level and then also larger cities. So we'll be able to take a look and see what's going on with the cities as well. We're going to look at the county government structure for each of these 20 counties. So we're going to figure out, do they have a legislature? Do they have a board of supervisors? How many are on there? Are there... Now, what are their sizes like? What's their ratio like of legislators to population? We're also going to take a look at the county executive, and executive with a lowercase e. So this is the person who's managing the county affairs. Is it an elected county executive? Is it an appointed county manager? Is it a county administrator but has a slightly different title? Or is there no one involved? So I know in at least a couple of the counties we might compare you against, they don't have a specific county manager right now who's leading their affairs. And then the other position that we've been asked to look at specifically is the treasurer, which is currently a countywide elected position in Chemung County. But we know it's not in some of your peers. So we want to dig in and look at the other 20 counties or so and figure out who's electing, who's appointing, where's that break point, you know, who used to elect and who, you know, where did they change, when did they change? And in some cases, you'll have both an elected and an appointed, and we'll see if we can figure out where's their division of authority between those two positions. Want to take a look at terms of office. And do our best to identify salaries and other benefits for those offices. We're going to be looking at the statewide data. New York State is great and how they require people to provide data. It's not, can't always get to the right level of detail that we'd like, but for doing a summary level where we're able to figure out county legislature. This is how much it costs to operate a county legislator. So the salaries for the legislators, their staff will be able to get to that level and be able to compare you against your peers. Once we have all that done, you're going to get a draft report, and we'll entitle it draft. Every document you see will have draft on it or work product on it. So it's not subject to FOIL until you've had a chance to look at it yourselves and ask you your questions, and we make sure it's an accurate reflection of the work you're expecting of us and the work of the community. Questions on kind of this first big phase of research that we're going to get into?
Was that a question for us?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you have any questions for us right now on this, what we term phase two, which is really our first round of research?
Yeah. First one, could you email us a copy of that phase one and phase two sheet? I didn't see phase one, that's okay, but phase two, so we have that as a scorecard?
Yes. You should have. Do you all have copies of our proposal?
Yes.
Thank you, Mike.
This is cut and paste out of our proposal.
Okay, thank you.
I actually shortened a little bit of what's on the screen just to make it readable. So instead of some long paragraphs in a couple spots, you just have a couple bullet points. But you have the full description in the in our proposal of what we're planning on doing.
Could you still send that? I'm sorry, Scott. Could you still send that one because it's abbreviated? Just
absolutely. Yep.
Thank you. Go ahead, Scott.
Scott Drake, I have a question. I asked this earlier, and I'm just hoping maybe you guys have some more insight. Is there any indication of when we're going to see the census data?
So the one member of our team who isn't joining us on the call is Kate or Catherine Bell. She is our census expert, and we've had conversations with her. I think we're going to be able to see what we need to work with beginning in April is the last timeline that was released, which if we're trying to get you a full report by May, that's going to be really tight for us to have that kind of data. So we're going to begin this whole process working with the estimates.
Okay, thank you.
And Paul, we know that, and we're looking at this as a 2-point project, if you will. We understand there's a reduction, and we understand that we have to do something about that. And then the second one is we don't know where the lines will be because of where the residents live.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one of our first tasks is we want to figure out who to benchmark you with. So I don't know how big this is showing up on your screen. But what I did was grab the list of counties in New York State by population. And like I said, you start at number 32 with your 85,000 residents. And I went 10 above and roughly 10 below to try and get our 20. But there are a couple of variations to that. So we wanted to include some counties that are close to you that might not otherwise fall in population. So I grabbed Broome County. So their population is more than double yours. And they would ordinarily have been outside of that 10-person range, but we wanted to include those. And then, you know, going down, ordinarily we would have stopped right here with Columbia County, but I want to grab Otsego County as well because they're relatively close to you in geography, although not in population. Interestingly, a couple of your neighbors, who ordinarily we like to include neighbors whenever we're doing benchmarks, they're relatively small, and I don't know that they're an appropriate benchmark. So, you know, Tioga County, although they're right next door, with their population of 49,000, they're not a real great comparison. And similarly, Schuyler County, that shares a pretty good-sized border with you, they're one of the smallest counties in New York State, a population of only about 18,000. They're not a great benchmark for how they operate their government because they are a much smaller operation. So I don't intend on including those. We'll email this list for you and let you look at it. We want to start with this number. And as we go through, a couple of these counties will likely drop out because we won't be able to get the information we need from them. We haven't figured out which ones have good websites, which ones make their information publicly available. Interestingly, your website's very easy to work with, and we were able to grab whatever we need right off of your e-code, and you know, so we have sizes and things like that. That's wonderful to get work with, but we might get to the point where, you know, Warren County doesn't have a great website for this kind of information, so we might not be able to track it. So it may drop out of our comparison. We'd rather have, or might only be in there for a couple of categories, but not for all of them. Any questions on, and again, I'm not sure that this is showing up big enough in your room, but on our process of identifying who to include as benchmarks.
No, I think you're good. You got the ones around us that we look at, Steuben and Tompkins, I think we're very interested in. And obviously, they're going to be looked at, so.
And then, so after we do this initial benchmarking phase where we're looking at, this is kind of our objective data, things that, you know, easily repeatable and you know, we'll be able to talk through and explain exactly how we got to these figures. Now we get into a little bit more of the subject. One of the things that we were asked to do was work with a group of legislators, primarily you, to develop a series of options related to the size of the legislature and the structure of the other county positions. But we also want to grab the input from all of the legislators. So what we're talking about doing is an anonymous survey on their priorities related to representation, the structure of government and preferred criteria for redistricting. We will work with you to get the questions right before it goes out to the legislators. We'll create a first draft of the survey. Some of the things that we'll be coming across, we'll want to, you know, make sure that we think about and ask you to think about, and we'll share a draft of the survey, and then look for your help in getting the other legislators to answer it. We feel it's important to keep it anonymous, so people feel, you know, willing to speak their mind. They might have an opinion they're willing to share in private, but they don't want to share on the floor of the legislature. We will pull together the responses of the survey, and that will be shared in aggregate. So, you know, folks will get to see, okay, this is what people were thinking. Do they feel like the current legislative ratio of representation is adequate, or you know, they feel overwhelmed, or honestly, they could handle twice as many constituents. That's what kind of question we're trying to get to.
How soon will that survey come out?
Our intention is to focus on the baseline first, and this survey, after we've had a chance to give you the draft of the baseline.
Okay.
Is that kind of match with how you would like to see it done?
Well, I think that idea of the survey is fantastic. And I was just wondering how soon that was gonna
be in the hands of the legislators to start filling it out, but, you know, you've got a plan, and I'm not gonna go against your plan. Because we hired you for your expertise.
And, you know, I would wanna share, encourage you to share with the other legislators that they're gonna be asked these questions, so they can begin to think about it. So when they, you know, the survey pops in front of them, that they're not shocked by it. So they've had a chance to contemplate it before they're asked to fill it out. So that's how we would approach it.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So to follow up, I had written down your phase two benchmarking. What do you think your timeline on that would be for completion?
My expectation would be by the end of March.
Excellent.
Again, you know, a lot depends on how accessible data is, but we'll at least be able to have the majority of the points that we want to be able to share by that point. And we, you know, we'll know which counties are easy to grab their data from and which ones aren't. And we do have, you know, included your interviews with key individuals in the legislature regarding their priorities on representation and government structure. And that is a list that we would look for you to help us develop. Who do you want us to talk with? We don't have, I don't think the capability to go through all of your legislators, but we would want to make sure that we talk to people who are important decision makers in the body and influencers to be able to hear what their perspectives are.
And we would make that list, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And then this all comes together in a written report where we're able to, you know, look at your current structure, think about what the options are for change, what your priorities are of as the legislature for those changes, and what might some of the influences would be of those. And that really, once that aspect is done, that leads right into the phase four, where we're creating the final report and we report it back to you. So there's the formal written report, and we will work with you. And as I cut and paste, I think I dropped out the part that we're going to do a presentation, whomever you're asking us to present with, whether it's to this committee, the legislature as a whole, those are, however that format works. Our intention as we go through the project is to have bi-weekly email check-ins where we're sharing with you our progress. We can do it to the committee chair, and Mr. Sweet can share it with the committee, or I don't mind, you know, whether once I type in all five email addresses, it's just as easy to send to all five of you.
Paul, that's what I wanted. I want everyone to know at the same time.
Okay. Great. So we'll want to get all five of those email addresses. So, you know, you look for that from us on every couple of weeks. And then if we want to schedule, whether it's a monthly meeting or some form of check-in, sometimes it'll be a little bit longer if we have a lot of findings to share. Other times it might just be a relatively quick check-in where we're saying, okay, this is, you know, we've gotten information from 12 of the 20 counties we've been chasing down. And, you know, this is what we're beginning to see. And, you know, the trend is that you're on target for representation. You're a little high, you're a little low. You know, this is what we're seeing with the number of appointed treasurers versus elected, that kind of thing.
So do you think it's necessary to meet with you before you get phase two done?
I don't. This phase two, this chasing down this benchmark data, if we're in agreement that, these are the areas that we're looking at, the one area that I want to make sure of is that we're not missing a county that you really consider yourself a close peer to.
What if we?
Don't want to get to the end of this and you say, why didn't you compare us to Nassau County? And,
Is Ontario on there? I can't see it.
Ontario's there.
I got it.
Well, what if we make suggestions of counties we want to be looked at? You know, the ones that we want to look at with, in real soon, if we email you those counties.
Sure, you can do that. And, like I said, I will turn around and email you this presentation that has this list of the counties that we're going to use. It's the ones in the grid. So, we start with Broome and we go to Otsego. We're not going to catch everyone population-wise in between because Broome is a few points up. But it's roughly, and I'll be honest, my expectation is that we'll be able to get all the data points we need out of about 75% of these counties. We may be missing some, just our experience in working with different counties, they may not have the position description of the treasurer that we can get easily. We'll try to get it, but we may not. So that's why I'm saying we may be missing some data points with some of these, but this is what we'll try and complete.
Do I have anything?
No. Good.
Sounds good, Paul.
All right, I'm going to stop sharing here. My screen a little bit.
And for the record, I heard the name Mr. Sweet, it's Tom.
Okay. So do you have any other questions for us this morning?
I don't. I'm good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're looking forward to working with you. And I will get you this this PowerPoint presentation. What is the best email I should use? I've been working with Dave mostly at this point.
Is that okay?
No.
I'm sorry.
He has my email.
To our clerk, Cindy.
Oh, okay. I didn't see. She didn't introduce herself. I didn't see her hiding in the back.
Okay. And then we got Megan over here.
Okay. Good morning. Sure, I can send it to her and we'll work on it from there.
And I don't have a problem. If he sends you the master, then you distribute it. Okay. Did you hear that, Paul? You can just send it right to Cindy and then she'll make sure that we get it.
Sounds good.
And, would you ask that?
Paul, is there anything proprietary on the PowerPoint presentation that you would not want shared with the minutes that will be posted on the website?
No, and it is rare for us to have something that we're not comfortable putting out in public.
Okay.
The only variation of that is when it's a draft and we want to make sure that you have a chance to review it before it's ready to be shared, and we will we'll clearly watermark those.
Okay. I'll just make a comment with you here. I honestly think it's our due diligence to be responsible and look at the structure because of the decline in population versus the cost of running the government. And I think we would be, and I'll tell you, I never paid attention in school about vocabulary, so mine's limited, but I think it would be a shame if we did not really look at this hard and fulfill our responsibility as leaders in this community. Even if it hurts one of us sitting here on this table to where it would be decided that our district is one to be eliminated. I am personally prepared for that.
Yeah.
And we have to look at the reality because our constituents have to come first.
Well said.
So that's how I feel about it. I see four shaking heads.
Yep, I agree.
I agree.
So now you know where we're coming from.
I appreciate understanding that, and we will work with you to look at this in an objective manner so you can really see where, how you stack up.
And that's why we want to be objective, and the personalities will be kept out of it. Anybody else got anything?
Nope.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
Bye now.
You also.
I'm not sure how to turn that off.
They'll just, they're commuting home, right?
You just did it.
There, David's commuted home.
Okay.
Just look at us.
Well, I think we're underway, gentlemen.
Yep, I think that's a nice start.
I feel so much more comfortable after hearing them talk.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
And Scott, thank you for a comment you made just before they were introduced that I just want to highlight, you know, that, again, the idea that this committee is going to get together and gerrymander the districts to any political gain is completely, I know that's not going to happen. I know you guys. I know this committee and I know who I sat with. But your point is well taken, you know. We're taking it out of our hands, really, and letting CGR be the person to say, these are what the statistics and the benchmarks say you should be at. And we've paid good money to get those recommendations. We'd be foolish not to look at them and without some really good reason, then we should support it. And, you know, that removes the, you know, should remove from anyone that sees what went on that this wasn't done in a smoke-filled room in the back corner, but all out in the light of day.
Well, it ought to take the political implications away.
Right, yeah.
We're not interested in districts based on how many blanks or Democrats or Republicans are in them. I don't care anything about that.
Yeah.
I want to know how many people are there. That's my concern.
Me too.
We've got the right number of constituents per legislator, and that we're representing a number that shows some similarity to what other counties in the state are doing. We've got about an equal number of people that we represent. I think that's the goal we ought to be looking at.
Look, this county is going to have numerous financial challenges. We already do. It's no one's fault, but there are some very difficult decisions that need to be made about Chemung County going forward. We are making some of them. But I think that, you know, the infrastructure issues that we have, the impact of COVID, loss of sales tax, loss of state aid, we're in a very difficult position. And I think that if our full legislature did not start addressing that, and this committee certainly is a part of the overall, I think we would be remiss if we didn't address all of that. We need to come up with some answers, and for our constituents, for the people that put us into office, we owe it to everyone in this county.
And I'll go back to Bob's about the gerrymandering. In my experience, and please forgive me, but I'm going to go back on my experience
sure.
being here a lot probably. Never once in the two redistricting projects that I have been involved with was that ever mentioned.
Yeah.
And we didn't draw the lines as legislators. The planning department
did that.
Drew the lines and then just came in. And as I said, we moved the boundaries, but that was just, I gave up people so that someone else would have an equal amount. Not that I'm a hero, I'm not saying that, but we worked together.
Yeah.
We didn't care who was where, it was the boundaries
yeah.
of where people lived. So that gerrymandering, That holds nothing to me.
Yeah. I agree with you. I've lived in Chemung County all my life, and I've never witnessed it actually happening, but I have heard the squeaky wheel mention it often. And, you know, during the last election, I won't name names, but somebody said, oh, I'm not a politician, I'm an elected official. And I said, I like that. Can I use that? Because, you know, we're not playing politics. I see everyone here committed to working for the county and the constituents in the county. And, you know, well said, what you said, and I agree with you, Tom, that, you know, it may be my district that gets eliminated, or my geographic region that I live in may get expanded to the point where in the next election, I would be running against a John Buren. And, you know, I would support him for legislator before I vote for myself.
Oh, let's not go so far.
But, you know, I'm willing, yeah, you know, if that's the way it falls out, I'm okay with that.
Very well could happen.
Yeah.
There's going to be some redrawing of lines, and you might find that you're not in the same district anymore. I'm on an intersection, and I'm probably one of the prime candidates for having a change made.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm close. Billy McCarthy sits right on the edge. There are a number of us that are going to face this, and you face it with grace.
Right. I mean, you know,
it's the right thing to do, and you fix it, and the chips fall where they fall, and that's the way it is.
Scott, you.
Well, I was just going to say, when they did it before, not having the luxury of going through it, I'm assuming that some of the changes were subtle changes. Like, for instance, you had a street, and the line went right in the middle of the street, so it's better to have the same legislator represent on both sides of the street than it is one in one and one in the other. Or is that not correct?
Well, it didn't happen.
You got them on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
There's an apartment complex. I got part of the apartments, and Joe has another part of the complex. So, yeah, they might go right down the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. That could happen.
I don't know how you even know what street using the map that's on the website.
Well, that's where the GIS tracking system will come into effect.
I look at mine and go, what is my boundary?
You know, if you look at the charter, read the.
Yes.
It's the attorney's description of the property. And it's very specific.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, we had a surveying outfit draw the.
It's kind of surveyor's lingo, isn't it?
Pretty much. It's.
Go ahead and say it, Cindy.
We do have individual maps of the current districts that are less legible, that you can read clearly.
More legible?
Yes.
They're big, aren't they?
And we've made one copy, but we can certainly make copies for everybody to have. And also, just so you know, that when you do go on the county website, you click on the map, you can hit the expand button,
yeah,
so it does blow up. So we can also bring up the full county up on the big screen if we wanted to see a better layout of it. But we can make those copies of each of the individual districts available to you. Megan did a great job blowing those up yesterday. And they're in color.
Wow. Thank you, Megan.
Before we go, did anyone get a chance to read Brian's letter to Chairman Manchester? I thought it was excellent, Brian.
Yes.
If I may, you say the Chemung County Charter Section 203, parentheses J, and it's about the core power and duty of the legislative branch. Is it I instead of J? Could have been a typo, because you know what? I got looking, and what you said is an I, not J. So
If that's a typo, I apologize.
That's okay.
I don't think it's a typo.
Well, I got.
Got the latest copy?
Yeah, I'm sorry?
Got the latest copy?
Well, that, I might not have the latest copy, very true. Mine's 22 years old, my copy.
Because mine doesn't look like that.
Okay, so maybe they've added something in there, okay.
So, I mean, we don't have to go through this right now, but, if you want to answer the question, if you turn to that section, I can tell you whether that's the section I'm referring to or not.
Well, you have got it in your letter.
Yep.
And I looked in the charter, and it's very good. So it's just that there might have been another section added. And again, as Mike pointed out, I got an old copy, the 20, and I don't have an updated one. So, not a problem. But I would like to, be proper to submit this for, into our minutes.
Oh, sure.
I think this is very important, what you have said, to help back us up for why we have this committee, without objections from you, if that's okay with you.
Letters that I submit as attorney become the property of those that I submit them to. But I'm not in a position to object to what you put in my letter. I don't make it public because I provide it to you as a client.
Uh-huh.
What you as a client decide to do with it, that's up to you.
Maybe I better ask Dave if that's okay, because it was to him, but we got it, so.
We'll look at that.
We'll check with the chairman, see. And then, also, this is public document, and it's, page four of the budget message. It says about, funding for a study. I'd like that submitted, that's public, I know that, and Cindy, you don't have to give, I'll give you this copy, I give you this, and you're here too. With that, by the sounds of it, we really don't need to meet until they say they've got some information for us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unless, something comes up that you guys want to, you know, if you got information and we can, I know that doesn't help you with,
Yeah, how much time do you need in advance so that we can post this and make the legal requirements?
It should go out a week before.
Maybe we should just let them know that as they anticipate being ready, they ought to let us know so that we can.
Yep.
The criteria.
You okay with that?
Okay.
Anybody else have anything?
Oh, I think we're off to a great start.
I think so.
I think so.
Doing our due diligence and, doing something we were hired to do. This is our job. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Without further ado, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Move.
And, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.